Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory. And we're still going to be talking about the kingdom of God. And we've talked in the last show about a lot of things. And I was trying to remember a particular quote that a friend of mine who I knew since he was a small boy had sent out on Facebook. And it was Proverbs. Actually, that wasn't his quote. I was trying to remember what his quote. Oh, experience has shown. It was a Thomas Jefferson quote. Experience has shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have in time and by slow operation perverted it into tyranny. And that's what Thomas Jefferson said. And then, of course, I said, it is not the fault of those entrusted as much as it is the fault of those who trusted. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And we talked in the last show about Samuel and the voice of the people who decided to elect a ruler like the other governments, like the Gentiles, like the other nations round about them. They wanted to elect someone who could rule and exercise authority. And they were warned against that he would take, and then he'd make his instruments of war, and he'd get you involved in foreign wars, and he would do all kinds of things. And then the day that you cry out, God wouldn't even hear you because you had done this wicked thing, which was called, in that text, a rejection of God. Just the election of a leader who could exercise authority was considered a rejection of God. And yet today you have churches demanding, oh, get out there and vote. Elect a leader who can exercise authority and set things right. And that's what they did with Saul. And that's what they did with Absalom. And that's what they did with David. And that's what they did with Rehoboam. Until they finally cried out and they said, what is Rehoboam to us? And they tried to go back to their ancient ways. But everybody didn't go back. And they were divided now. It's that simple. Divide and conquer. Get people thinking it's okay to take from your neighbor at the point of a gun in order to provide you with all those things you think you need. Once you've gone there, you're done. You've decided that you're going to decide for yourself. You have rejected God. Isn't that amazing? The voice of the people electing a leader was called a rejection of God. But today your churches tell you to go out and vote for somebody and elect a new leader. Why not repent, turn around? And, you know, I have a Facebook page and I very seldom go to it. And I neglect it terribly, but I'm busy elsewhere. We have a His Holy Church Facebook page, and articles go out on that. But really, we have the Lemmy Network, where we're not dependent upon the internet, or we're trying to get less and less dependent on it. And the more people we get into that Lemmy Network, it is our hope someday that you could go from congregation to congregation, and you don't have to stop at the motel. You just stop at the congregation. That's what the early church was doing. They couldn't get into the regular churches. They didn't have state ID. You had to have state ID to get around in the Roman Empire, you know. They called it a titulus. You had to show that. Christians had their own. You know what they call it, the Christian ID? It's actually in the Justinian Codes. It tells you in the Justinian Codes what Christian ID looked like. And not what it looked like, but what they called it. It was called logos. That's what it's called. Logos is the Greek word for the word. You had to show them that you had this document, this logos from church. And that was your ID. And the Justinian Code said you had to accept that. But today you have your ID from the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other because you've been remade in a new image, and that's the image of Nimrod. The image of Saul. The image of a way that was called a rejection of God in the Bible, in which Christ says it's not to be with you. And yet, in every single church, they say, you need something, go to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They will take from your neighbor and provide you with benefits. That is the Corbin of the Pharisees. That is what they set up. And we go through this in our articles on baptism, because in order to enter that system, you had to get baptized. In order to enter the system set up by Christ, you had to get baptized also. But the system set up by Christ was not a welfare that was a snare. It was a welfare based on the perfect law of liberty. You had a need, you went to church. But people were slothful in that, and they set up these other systems. They entrusted their right to choose, their liberty, where Christ had made them free. They gave that right to choose to men who could exercise authority so that they could have guaranteed benefits. Why? Because they had no faith. They didn't believe that God would really provide for them through the love and goodwill of their brothers. They wanted to make their brothers provide for them. That's not the image of God. That's not the ways of God. And you have been brought under this strong delusion that that's okay. And it's not okay. And you have to repent. And there are layers and layers of that repentance. And if you turn around, God will take them away. As he took away the armies of the Pharaoh, they will drown in their own error. The flood is coming. Repent, turn around. Seek the rock, the high ground of Christ, the ways of Christ. Don't make your churches a place where you go to be justified in your sin. Go there to seek a righteous way of caring for one another. That's what your churches are for. That's what your congregations are for. You can't get there by joining an email group. But if you join our groups, you can start to meet one another and form those congregations. And boy, I tell you, there's a lot of garbage out there who don't want to repent. They just want to be saved. That's okay. We can get through that garbage. If you seek righteousness, it will wash that garbage away. They will be too slothful to gather. They're just too busy doing their own thing. And that's what got Adam in trouble. He wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want to do God's thing. And what he learned so that he could justify not doing what God's thing was. And God will let you not do his thing, but not without consequences. So you have to repent. You have to turn around. You have to go this other way. You have to seek this way that Christ said for us to go. And if you don't, then the light will not be in you, and your chromosomes will get off kilter, and you will get cancer, and you will get sick, and you will get diseased, and you will die. Or maybe just a truck will hit you when you're crossing the street, because you didn't look both ways. But we all face death. But if you... What is it? The coward dies 1,000 deaths, a brave man only one? Well, we only need to face death once. We don't need to drag it around with us. So we need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to go the other way. And that's really what this show is all about. That's what these recordings are all about. That's what our website's about. That's what the Living Network is all about. It's about you being remade in the image of God, because you turn around and go through the ways of God. We talk about frequencies and light and, you know, bright light and not so bright light, which is what Satan offers you, which is a shadowed light, a dark light. It looks bright. It can look bright to those who live in darkness, but it's not the light of Christ. That's why your churches have a form of godliness, but they deny the real power thereof, which the real power thereof is love. And love is sacrifice for one another. But they don't want to sacrifice for one another. Oh, they'll give so they can have their big fancy churches and feel like they're great people. but they won't actually take care of the welfare of their community. That's too much. Oh, that would be too expensive. We couldn't afford the building plan. We couldn't afford the big screen TV in the church. And, you know, the band needs to be paid. And you've got to stop it. You got to turn around. Stop making excuses. Don't say, oh, well, I got to go do this and I got to do that. We got to have this and we got to have that. Start your churches caring for one another. Start being the benefactors who don't exercise authority. You know, I have a hat I wore it at the Burning Bush Festival, which we have every year around September. And it says FEMA on it. And somebody, you know, most of the people know what that stands for. But we had some new people that came to the festival this year, and we hope to have a lot more that come next year. And we hope to have events on a regular basis as long as we can. But it's all in preparation of the big event coming up soon, but we don't want to scare you, so we won't talk about that right now. but the point is, it says FEMA on my hat. HHC, His Holy Church, FEMA. But it stands for Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. That's what the church was. The church took care of the needs of the people when there was calamity, dearths in the land, depressions, failure of food and money and crops. They took care of each other. Rome was finding it less and less within its means to do that. They were raising taxes, but there was so much corruption in government that the funds were just disappearing. They had these foreign wars in other places, so the funds just kept disappearing. There were kickbacks and graft and corruption. Thieves and robbers were stealing their treasury. So where was the treasure of the kingdom? Oh, that's when you die? No, Christ said the kingdom's for the living. They were creating a network that was binding itself together, not by religious philosophies or legal documents, but by faith, hope, and charity. They had to do this in small, intimate groups, where the ministers formed their own groups, and they did it also. And they formed this network that covered not only Judea, but Samaria, all the way to Rome and beyond Rome. By the time the apostles, you know, like Peter and Paul, got to Rome, there were already people there preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And some of those people were from as far away as Ireland and England. And this is all documented. You know, I recently saw a post from somebody who was on one of these other groups that was doubting that Christ ever existed. He says, there's very little evidence outside the Bible that Christ ever existed. Well, of course, the Bible is composed of lots of books that were few of the books that were written at that time about Christ. You know, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke and the Epistles. These are all different writings put together by Eusebius, by the direction of Constantine, to form your Bible. But there were a lot of other books that Christians were using. And we have lists of those books, and we have some of those books. But these are the ones that they could fit into the Bible, and the Bible is pretty big, especially if you hand wrote it. So this is all they put into there. But that wasn't, the Bible wasn't given to us by God. It was given to us by Eusebius, who was paid by Constantine to put down this, what he was going to put in the Bible. And it's great. It's a great gift anyway. God has provided that it has made it all the way to here. And the answers are in there. But you need divine revelation in order to read it and find out what it actually is saying. You can't figure it out by your tree of knowledge, forever studying and never coming to the full understanding thereof. You find out because God reveals it. It's not flesh and blood. It's not your efforts that are going to reveal it to you. It's your submission to the Spirit of God. And then that light and understanding will come into you. And we talk about that, and we hope that you see it. If you don't see it, well, I can't do anything about that. But there's the truth. But if you start to see it, it will change your frequency. Scientists say that hate, angry thoughts and hate, lowers the frequency of the body and the cells in that body. And a lower frequency makes a a longer arc and is not going to be able to follow those sharp arcs of the DNA, which is looks like a sine wave, you know, actually a double sine wave. But love has a higher frequency, what we think of as love. But then now we have to define what is love. You know, my cat loves birds. It's not a high frequency. Love. It's a devouring love. It's a I love to eat them up love. But the love we have is not a love of consuming. This is why, you know, we thought about it, the Burning Bush Festival, and ended up getting that name, kind of a takeoff on the Burning Man Festival. And so I thought about making a big, huge brush pile, and we'd have a kind of a big bonfire, but we never did that. And I kind of am against the idea now, because the burning bush of Moses' time was a flame, a light that does not consume. And, you know, Burning Man, it consumes in the ways that you see often expressed there is consuming. I don't want to pick on that thing. I mean, it is what it is. But what the fire that we are burning is the love of Christ and the love for one another. And that does not consume. That is not the love that consumes like my cat loving birds. It is the love that gives life. And that is a different kind of love than we often see in the world today. It is not a lust love that brings two people together for what each of them can get out of the other one. The comfort that you can bring me. I love you. Like my cat loves birds because it comforts her so to eat them. And so the love that we have is not this consuming love. It's a life-giving love. And they both are called love. That's the amazing thing. But one is not the love that we're talking about. And it will not raise your frequency. And it will not turn on your chromosomes. And it will not remake you in the image of God. Because God's love is a life-giving love. In John 4:6, we see, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know we are the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I believe that evil is the absence of good and darkness is the absence of light. This is why God called the light good. Because good shines against the darkness, the absence of good. That is what we are supposed to be doing. Neither Satan nor Lucifer is the name of the devil. It is a descriptive term. He is an adversary of the light. He brings his own light, which is less than the light of God. He has already divided the light and carries his own with him, but it's a dark light. Those are words describing the evil and the nature of evil. Are there evil spirits? You betcha. Who are they? Are they those who do not let the light in? Those who hide like Adam hid from the light of God? Are they those who do not want to see because they say they see and their sin remaineth? Oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I have accepted Jesus on October 14th, 1927. But you didn't accept Jesus. And Jesus talks about all those who say, yeah, we've done all these great things in your name. And he says, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. They thought they knew Jesus. They thought they believed in Jesus. And the Pharisees thought they knew Moses and thought they believed in Moses. But if they had really believed in Moses, they would have believed in Jesus. But they didn't even know Moses. Do you really know Jesus? Or do you know a false Jesus that has been painted and propped up and put up by a false church that has delivered you back into the bondage of Egypt where God said you were never ever to go, and what Moses had led you out of and what Christ was leading the people out of at his time? Who will lead you out of it today? Because you're back in the same mess again today, electing a new Caesar every so many years in whatever country you're in. We're going to have a Caesar here. We're going to have a Caesar there. Oh, this Caesar's better than that Caesar. That Caesar's a bad Caesar. We want a good Caesar. You're hiding from the light of the fact that you're not supposed to have Caesar at all. The election of these rulers is a rejection of God. It was in the days of Samuel. It was in the days of Christ. And it is today. Do you want to decide which one is good and which one is evil? They are both evil. We even say it. The choice is between the devil and the deep blue sea. Why are you making the choice? It's like, I always thought it was funny when, you know, somebody is condemned to death. They say, do you want to be hung or shot? How do you want to die? How about old age? You are electing the gods of your world. We show you this. I mean, they tell you right on the U.S. government website that the painting in the Capitol Dome, which is called the Apotheos of Washington, Apotheos was the title given to Caesar Augustus, which said that he was a god. And that the painting there, painted by Constantine Bermudi in the Capitol Dome of the United States, on the U.S. government website, says this painting raises Washington to the rank of God, unquote. And it does. Just like Augustus Caesar was raised to the rank of God, because the Apotheos was the appointer of all the ruling judges throughout the empire to decide imperial matters, the same as your president is choosing all the federal judges throughout your empire that decide federal matters. The parallels are uncanny. Go read Rome versus Us. Now, I'm not condemning people for this. It was a strong delusion, and everybody would be deceived except by the grace of God. Now the question is, do you want to live by that deception, or do you want to live by righteousness? Do you want to turn around and start seeking the kingdom of heaven? Is there an evil spirit that could be identified as Satan or the adversary of God? You betcha. Is he from hell or one of those parallel dimensions that we hear these atheist scientists talking about in their string theory? Which is relatively true. It's relatively accurate. There is a parallel dimension. One of them is hell. One of them is here. And one of them is heaven. And there's actually, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. What room do you want to live in? I want to live in the room where Christ is. In order to do that, I have to be like Christ. And I'm not like Christ by nature. I have to be remade. And that's what you have to be, is remade in the image of Christ. Can you do that? Can we call this evil spirit the devil? You betcha. It's a free country. You can call him anything you want. Is he responsible for what has gone sour in the world today? No. You are. Not only because you listened to him and followed his ways, but because you hid from the truth of that. And you tried to justify yourself. You need to see yourself, that you've been a part of it, that you've been deceived, and that your parents were deceived, and your grandfather was deceived. And you've been going this way for a long time now. And the whole world has followed after this way. Because as America goes, the whole world goes. Well, it's time for America to repent. Really repent. Not elect a new Caesar, but actually say, move in a direction where you can say, there is another king, one Jesus. And start doing contrary. Don't disobey the law. Start doing contrary. Stop applying and praying to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. That means you have to homeschool, home health care. You have to be able to go to church and say, I need help. And I'm praying to God that he helps me. And I'm hoping that you are servants of God and you will help me. But I will only hope for that. I will not make you help me. And if you don't help me, I forgive you. but I need help. I have screwed up. I have failed. I have stumbled. Whatever it is. And they will be there for you if you are there for them. You go to church not for, you don't go when you need help. You go because somebody else might be there and they might need help and you get to help them and you are thankful for the opportunity of helping, and that is called Thanksgiving, and that is what the Eucharist of Christ is all about. Is that what you're about? Or do you just want to be saved? Or do you want to save others? Do you want to help others? Do you want to live and give your life for others? Knowing, yes, if you do, you'll have life more abundant. But instead of casting good bread upon the waters in hopes that someday it may come back to you, many of you are casting stale bread upon the waters. You are trickling your contributions to your congregation. You're not building up your congregations. You got a congregation of two or three families. Why don't you have a congregation of 10? Why aren't you figuring out some way of beating the brush out there to build those congregations up to 10 and then build them up to 20 so that you can have your DNA split and create two congregations? Because that's the way the early church was. Congregations of 10 families and a minister, that's 11. And then his minister, that's 12. A pattern repeated for centuries before Christ and for centuries after Christ. But now you have churches that resemble Constantine's church. And we tell about the story of Constantine. I don't know if we'll get into that now. We'll keep on going with this until the break. I believe we are responsible for a lot of the things that have gone sour in the world today because we have rejected God, just like the voice of the people rejected God in the days of Samuel. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and they which worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Someone wrote me and said that we are all spiritual. The devil is spiritual. It's just a different spirit. Yeah, we're all spiritual, but we are not all the spirit of God. Many of us are a spirit far less than God, and we will divine different results because of that. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, be that spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is not of his. He is not none of his. He is not a part of Christ. What is the spirit of Christ? Are you going to church to sacrifice yourself for others? Or are you going to church to feel good? I hear that so many times. People say, I like to go to that church. It makes me feel so good. What the heck is that? Let's go put it in the real words. What the hell is that? That is hell. That's what got us into trouble. Eat this. Feels good. Do it. Is it good? Is it righteous? Is it doing what the early church did? You, when your widows and orphans need help, where do they go? Do they go get most of their sustenance from the church? All of their sustenance from the church? Or do they go to those men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, those that Christ said we were not to be like? Figure it out, folks. We got a lot of repenting to do. We got a lot of work to do. You come to our church, you better come with your sleeves rolled up, because we got work to do, because we have gone a long way in the wrong way, and we have to come out of the darkness. And we'll tell you more about how to do that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we were talking about light and darkness and how the light can begin to change you if it is the light of Christ. But if it's the light of the world, and meaning a different world. Now we're talking about the constitutional orders or systems of governments, or the light of Satan, the adversary of Christ, the one who wants to rule over you rather than allow you to be ruled by God, who wants to trick you with deception, who wants you to decide things based on your own knowledge. That's a different light, and that's going to create a different result. And that result is not in the image of God, and therefore you will be conflicted in your being, and you will suffer the evidence of that. Besides cancer, autoimmune disease is one of the most common problems today. And we say, well, what can we do about that? Well, it's all about forgiveness. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. Now, there are real diseases that cause these things, real physical realities that take place in your body. But your body should be able to, as McCormick says, you don't have static DNA. You have DNA that can be reactivated and re-identify itself, and you can be born again and begin to heal and change in your body immediately. And I'm not saying that your afflictions is the result of a particular sin. It's sin in general. But if you return to the ways of forgiveness and forgive those who have betrayed you and cheated you and abandoned you and injured you, then the light can enter into you and you can be healed again. Otherwise, it may get worse. And those that have cheated you and abandoned you and lied to you, they have a responsibility too. They have to take the nails of your affliction. I knew a guy who got married to a woman just absolutely suddenly, and I could see it as a disaster coming. But he married her, and it was a disaster, and soon she was abandoning him and took his unborn daughter with her, and he hasn't really seen the child grow up at all since then. And he had an opportunity in the courts to make a choice, in which case he could have suffered greatly, and he chose not to take that chance of suffering. And I told him before we entered into these negotiations with her lawyer that you have to be ready to be nailed to the cross and love in spite of the fact that she is going to try to nail you to the cross. And when you do that, then Christ will be in what you do and you will be blessed. And I stood there and watched him as he was given this option of making one simple little choice. And I won't go into all the details because you might figure out what I'm talking about. And he did not make that choice. And I put my head down. I knew that as soon as he didn't make that choice, that this drama between him and her, which is probably meant to be, was going to continue much longer before either one of them came to repentance. And I have seen her. I've seen the daughter. I've seen the husband. And they don't see each other, but I've seen them all. And the daughter is in the midst of that and will remain in the midst of that. And he's missing other opportunities as well because he can't forgive. He's having trouble forgiving her. And of course, she is the way she is because she can't forgive those who molested her when she was 14 years old. And when she was 17 years old, she ran off and got married. And eventually her husband was died, but not after what, you know, actually a fairly famous murder event took place. I won't get into the details of that either, but her husband was a terrible thief, robbed millions and millions of dollars from people through I won't say exactly how he did it, but it was through deception. You know, I was looking today, I always love to, being a student of history, I look at this day in history, and I won't tell you what day it is, But if you go back in time, on this day in history, two Quakers who had come from England in 1656 to escape religious persecution was executed by the Massachusetts Bay Colony. They were executed by that colony for their religious beliefs. This was in back in 1659. And so the very, everybody escaping religious persecution, but then they themselves persecuted people based on their religious beliefs. And, it was like, it reminds me of, in my stream of consciousness here, it reminds me of when Pasha or whatever he is in Iran was overthrown and the new Khomeini was taking over and changing that government. And they complained about the fact that, the government that had been propped up by the American government there had torturers in their prisons. And their complaint really wasn't that he tortured, is that they didn't hold the torture sticks. So now new groups were now holding the torture sticks. In many cases, the same policemen were still there. But a new group was now holding the torture stick, and a new group was now going to be persecuted. You see, because they didn't change in their spirits. The same spirit still dwelt there and lived there. They just changed roles, Like the old movie Bananas, I think it was, where, was it, now you're, no, well, I guess it wasn't in that movie, but there's an old joke about, the good news and bad news for the soldiers. The good news is we're all going to get to get a change of underwear. The bad news is you change with him and you change with him, kind of thing. They're not really solving the problem because they're not changing in themselves. They're just, and that's what you're doing with your elections. You're not changing anything. The problem isn't that you have this leader instead of that leader. The problem is that you have empowered a leader at all. If you want to be empowered, you must begin to empower yourself by taking back your responsibilities. This is what the church was all about. It was about empowering you in your local congregation. If your local congregation was going to stand or fall, it was going to stand or fall because you got together. You took the time to find other men of like mind who cared about you as much as you cared about yourself. And if you do that, you will automatically not care about yourself more than the other people. But again, people are constantly coming to congregations and churches for what they can get out of it instead of what they can give to it. Now, I know there are givers out there in America. They are rare. I mean, real givers. Those who would lay down their lives. And this is why wars are created. So that those who would lay down their life for their fellow man are killed off on both sides. Because the more of those you kill, the less of those you have around, and the less likely you'll be challenged by a real force and power, the power of love. So they create wars to kill off men who love their brothers and will die for their brothers and will sacrifice. It's a false patriotism. We want to talk about patriotism. Why did Jesus say, call no man pater, but my pater in heaven? Because the government was called pater. Your senators were pater. Your emperor was our father who art in Rome. And today your father is in wherever, Sydney or Washington, D.C. or Ontario or wherever it is, wherever your capital is. That's your father. That's your daddy. That's the guy who's going to take care of you. That's the guy you're going to pray to when you need help. Even though Christ said it's not to be that way with you. You need to turn around. You need to go another way. In 1787, on this day, the first Federalist Papers series of essays calling for the ratification of the Constitution of the United States of America was published. And they actually, you know, were kind of secret about preparing to make that publishment. But there was another group that began to publish papers not long afterwards called the Anti-Federalist Papers. Did you know that the vast majority of Americans at the time of 1787-1789 were in opposition to the Constitution of the United States? They didn't want the Constitution. Men spoke against it. Able men. Patrick Henry spoke against it. This document was written as if good men will take office. When bad men take office, they will steal your rights through ambuscade. Read our articles and series of articles. Listen to the audios of Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. The Constitution is not your salvation. Electing this president or that president or this prime minister or that prime minister is not your salvation. It's repenting and going a completely different direction. An absolutely opposing different direction. Now, we don't want to get rid of the governments of the world. They will fall of their own accord eventually. They will fail. And Jesus says you should be friends with the unrighteous mammon. This unrighteous trust. Mammon means trust. Entrusted wealth. Going back to that original quote that I was talking about of my friend on Facebook who, you know, wrote his little Thomas Jefferson quote talking about whenever you entrust men with power, they eventually will be corrupted. And they will be. And we need to realize that. Experience has shown, he says, that even under the best forms of government, which, you know, we show you in Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions that there were five precepts that the Bible tells you to put down in writing if you decide to elect a leader who can exercise authority. One of them shows up in the Constitution. One of five. Four are missing. The one that shows up is that he's not to be a foreigner. He has to be born of your nation. So much for the Constitution. It has some good points, but it has some major flaws. And if you read the Anti-Federalist Papers or read the Contracts, Covenants, and Constitution, you will see them in relationship to Christianity. What those flaws are. You could guard against those flaws, but you know the Constitution that was created back then and your relationship to it has completely morphed over the last two centuries. You're not the same as they were back then. And of course, that's exactly what Patrick Henry was predicting. So that isn't your salvation. That's the point. I don't want it to go away because it's there to punish the wicked. Excuse me. It's there to punish the wicked. And there are many wicked out there. So there's a lot of people to punish. And they are being punished every day. And they are crying out, stop punishing us. God, our governments are punishing us. Well, how about this? Stop being the wicked. That's the problem. You're the wicked. You're supposed to be punished. The slothful should be under tribute. That's what Proverbs says. Only the diligent should bear rule. You don't deserve your rights. Because you're the wicked. Because you haven't been diligent in your responsibilities. You aren't taking care of the needy of your society, unspotted from the world in pure religion. That's what pure religion is. You're taking care of the needy by men who exercise authority one over the other. How much of an adversary do you think you are? You're an adversary of Christ. You're a slothful, non-diligent, non-seeking, non-striving, non-Eucharist Christian, which makes you not a Christian at all, because you aren't doing what Christ said. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe, but those who do it the will of the Father. It is not the will of the Father that you force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And so you need to repent. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, you know, we're going to have programs on the guidelines. We already have those recordings on the website. of how the church was organized, because they were referred to as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, an ever-increasing state, and they were praised for the union and discipline. But where was the union and discipline? Did they have leaders who could exercise authority one over the other? No. They were personally self-disciplined to do what was right. So as I said in Genesis 3, let's go back there. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that's what we say. Let there be light in your understanding. And then there will be light in your understanding. But if you say you already see, and there's nothing we can tell you, and there's nothing you can learn, and nothing you can be shown, well, then your sin remains. And you will remain in darkness. And you will not turn around. You will not head towards the kingdom. In Matthew 4:16, it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Genesis 4. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Hate divides you. Christ says, I come to bring a sword. His sword will divide the light from the darkness. If your churches will not repent, form other congregations. Go to other churches that will repent. And that's what we're calling for, those who will repent and go the other way. Homeschooling is hard sometimes. If you're a single parent, it's almost impossible. But it's not impossible if you're a congregation of believers. Turn around. Come together. Start being the government of God. Start taking care of one another. And the beauty of this is you don't have to do it all at once. Just start. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You are a stalled ox in your churches. You are spiritually constipated. You are plugged up because you will not give and let go. It's not coming out with a drought because you will not repent and turn around and go the other way. You need an enema of righteousness to get your system back on track. Song of Solomon, first chapter, second verse. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. His love is a love of sacrifice. Not a love, he is giving, not taking in his love. You must be the same. The Song of Solomon, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arms. That's what you do things with. Not just wave them over your head, folks. You actually have to be doing things. For love is strong as death. You want to be an overcomer? You got to start giving up your life today and loving one another, helping one another so they don't have to go to public school. They don't have to go to public health care. They don't. You can create your own volunteer fire department on your block where you live. You need to become the faith emergency ministry auxiliary for your community. And start setting the example of Christ. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Sloth is the way of death. The coal thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Talking about the love of Christ. If you love your enemy, it will be like hot coals heaped upon his head. But it has to be that real love. Not the mamby-pamby love. Real active, sleeve-rolled-up love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Does not covet his neighbor's goods. Doesn't send men to his neighbor's house to take his house away if he doesn't pay for your child's education. That's not love. That's the system you created for yourselves. And you thought it was good because you've been eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And deception has been afoot in your lessons. Learn real love. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What law? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You say you believe in Christ. Now you have to believe an active belief. Awaken. Romans 13:11. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Once you understand that Christianity was the social welfare system of the faithful, that they went to church to help one another, that the Eucharist of Christ was the thankfulness for the opportunity to give and help your brothers out. Now you cannot say that Paul did not preach the gospel. Because this is what he's talking about. This is why he said, what agreements do you have with unbelievers? Who are unbelievers? Those who believe that it's okay to pray to benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Those are the unbelievers, and those are the ones you're contracting to for your benefits. You should be the church that is the benefactor, the non-coercive church, that is providing the Corban of Christ through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. What do you think Paul was talking about? I could go on all day about people who misunderstand Paul. And Peter told you he's going to talk about things that are hard to understand. He knew he was this guy to bring this extra message. And you're not going to get it all in one program here, in one recording. Keep looking. Keep the faith. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and is remade in the image of God instead of the image of the world, which brings death. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What love? Is it the love of taking life or giving life? Which love do you have? Which love are you practicing? Which love are you being a part of? He that loveth not knoweth not God. That is important to understand. And what love is? It's not, oh, geez, I love you from my pew. It's real love, active love. If God just sat up there and loved, he would not have moved and formed the world and formed your life and breathed life into you. Are you breathing life into your neighbor? Are you breathing self-righteousness into your own heart? It's going to reap you confusion and death. I warn you. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a portion of our sins. We need to do the same for our brothers. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house. Seek ye the kingdom. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.